Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We are here live tonight. It is Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving. That's not right. Something's not right about that. Is there a Happy Thanksgiving song? I don't even know. I don't think there is. Right? Anybody know about that? I don't think anybody knows. May have never even thought about it. Oh, well, anyway. I tried. All right. Give me a second here. Wait. All right. Let me go here. I'll be right back. All right. Got it. Hallelujah. All right. Good to be here tonight. It is Thursday night. We're going to be doing communion tonight. We have no video tonight. So if you're looking for the video, well, there'll be no video. I don't think I put that out on the video. Let anybody know about that. Our alerts. Okay. All right. If you want a gift tonight, you can do that. Let me know. I'll send you the link. And we'll take care of that for you. You can give on Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, go to the app. We now have our App Store back on. You can go to the App Store on your Apple phone and search for Randy Chandler, and you'll find our app. It kind of looks like the old one at first, but it's different on the inside. We're still working on the inside of it, but it's beginning at least. All right, so. Hallelujah. Good to be here tonight with you guys. There'll be no video tonight. I know I just said that I think I want to send that out. Some people look for the video. I'm going to just like video, even though they listen to the radio, but they like video better. So it is Thanksgiving night. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. I did pretty good. I always enjoy doing stuff. Really, really awesome to just have family and, you know, thank God for the family. And I also thank God for my PGN family that we have you guys. And we're in this thing together. Jesus said, my mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And, you know, that's pretty cool, too. Yeah, one thing I was thinking about before I came on tonight, it's kind of new to me. I never quite thought about this before. Is about how that when God calls you to something, you know, if there's one thing to come on to PGN or go to some church or become a part of some ministry, and maybe you like to listen to it, you like to engage in their information, you know, you like the teacher or whatever. But in all truth, you know, you never really become a part of it, you know, which is okay, you know. But the point that I want to make is that when you do find something that you seem to fit to or like and enjoy, and then you become part of it, when you become part of it, it's different, right? You can go listen to something and enjoy it, and, you know, it's great. It's wonderful. You love it. You know, I listen to this person, that person, and you really enjoy it all. It's really great information that you glean a lot of information from, and you love the way they do things. It's really great. But when you have something that you actually become a part of it, it becomes part of your, you get like an engraft or something. I don't know what the word is. It becomes flesh to you. The word, that calling, that particular calling, that particular ministry, it becomes flesh to you. The word became flesh, remember? And dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We know that's talking about Jesus, but in the sense that we make covenant with something or a particular ministry or a particular person in that ministry that God has called, and you start, you know, becoming part of it, you know, when you become part of it by praying for it, loving it, enjoying it, giving to it is an important part of, you know, becoming part of it. So when you become part of it, it becomes part of you. And whatever is the mantle on that person, to some degree, you know, influences your life and becomes part of your life. It doesn't just something that you listen to and hear and you think about it off and on. No, it becomes part of you. It's like flesh of your flesh. It's bone of your bone, you know, because whatever God called you to be a part of, like in a marriage, you know, when you get married to somebody, you're not just dating and having fun and going out and, you know, and you enjoy them, but you decide to commit to them in marriage, you know, it's a whole different thing, right? Then you become one with their flesh. You become one with them. And in a sense, that's what we do with Jesus. We do with our marriages. We do with, you know, certain ministries, certain people that we're called to be a part of. We enjoy a lot of other. We enjoy, just like, you know, when you're dating and having fun with, you know, there's a lot of girls or guys you enjoy, you know, have fun with. But there's that one person you had your eye on that you're, you know, that you're thinking, oh, boy, you know, I think I could marry that one. In other words, you're thinking I could covenant with that one. And then you become flesh and blood with them in a sense. You know, you become one with them. You become part of them. You're not just friends and buddies and, you know, whatever. You become one with them. And then what happens is what is in that person, on that person, in that ministry, becomes part of you. Right? Yeah. So just being friends with them, being, hey, hello, how you doing? And, yeah, I like your teaching. You know, send a little praise report once in a while. And that kind of thing is great. But when you become part of it, it's different. Then you connect. Then you become whatever that ministry is, the mantle or the calling or the substance on that ministry and that minister actually becomes part of you, right? You become, when they get blessed, when they get speak a blessing and go places with God, you know, to a certain degree, maybe depends on your commitment to God and how you hear from God, how big that thing affects you. Right? Sometimes some people really listen close to certain things. Here on PGN, we have different people that connect to different parts of PGN. And when they connect, they really connect, you know, pretty big. So, but not everybody connects to everything that we do and every way that we extend our calling. Our calling is extended to you. Not everybody grasps it, you know, because they're not really called to that part of that, you know, like having, you know, a five-fingered hand. You know, some people belong to, they enjoy the thumb. People enjoy the you know, the index finger. Some people the pinky, some people, whatever, the marriage finger, you know, commitment finger, the pointing finger. You know, everybody connects to different parts of it because every ministry, every calling, every person has different parts of who they are. So when you become one with them or you join with them and you become part of them, you become, you automatically, just like we're talking about in marriage, when you have your sexual encounter with your mate, there's something that happens there that you get connected with them that nothing else connects you. Nothing else connects you like that. You get connected in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different ways to connect to people. Paul the Apostle says sexual sin is the worst because it affects your body, and he also says when you become one with a whore, you know, you become one with them. He said, you don't want to become one with somebody that's really got a lot of stuff. You want to become one with someone, you know, become part of someone that, it's not that they're perfect, but they have something that you look up to that you know God has called them to. And so, yeah, to become one with them is a whole different thing than it is to just, you know, say hello and wave at them and, you know, stop and talk and visit and, you know, go out with them, have dinner once in a while. That's some fun, but to be committed, to see them in their good times and their bad times, and knowing that God has called you to be a part of, just like I was part of that church for 10 years. I was, you know, the head, the house prophet, they called me. And, you know, but I was married to that, if you will. I was committed to it. I was there all the time. I gave, I was part of it. I funded it. I did all, and therefore, because God told me to do that, told me to become part of it, to commit myself to it, then, you know, the blessing that was on that ministry, and that I became, you know, which had a lot of great things, you know, I received that. It enhanced my life. So is it with PGN. When people actually commit to God in it, there's something that happens. There's something that happens that gets on you, that blesses, just like the financial blessing we're talking about. The market mantle. You know, you guys may not have a an anointing to know what the market's going to do, but you sure got connected to, you know, the transfer of wealth thing that's going on. And it's not really the amount of money, although, it's, you know, that's awesome. It's the fact that we're being part of something that is extraordinarily unusual, I think, and very powerful in the fact of what God is trying to do, just to be part of what that is. Like I said, it's thank God for the money, thank God for that, but it's more of we are actually part of flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, of something that is very powerful and very biblical and very unique. And just being a part of that, you know, those who have been helping us over the years, they've been flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. So what do they receive? They receive just like in a marriage, you know, you know, in a sense, you know, you do your taxes together. One person gets money, you both get that money for the most part, unless you decide to sign an agreement you don't want to do that. But in all truth, you know, you become one in everything. And so that's what happened with PGN. Now, we have a lot of people that come and go off and on, and we're glad for that. We love it. God can work through, you know, a few, or he can work through many. He doesn't just work through just a few, right? I got a scripture on that. I found a scripture. Let me look at this. What did I do with that? Here we go. Yeah, God delivers by many or by few. And here's where Jonathan and, you know, David and Jonathan were good buddies. Jonathan was King Saul's son. And Jonathan was a great guy. And in Judges 14, verse 6, he was getting older, getting ready to be, you know, the warrior name was kicking in, and he was, you know, ready to step up by faith, be like David. Him and David hung out together. He got part of David's anointing, I think. And in Judges 14, chapter 14, verse 6, you want to turn there to your hardback Bibles, your computers, or your phone. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men, the Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. So we love it when God saves by many, right? We're not against that. We like the many. The many is cool. It's good to have many friends, right? And it's good. But you know what? One thing we got to watch out for is that we don't get our eyes on that. That's the answer to everything. Sometimes God chooses to just use a few just to show that he's glory, especially in a very large situation where the enemies are many. And God wants to show that he's God, and he doesn't need a lot. He does need one, at least one. And if he can get 300 like he had with Gideon, you know, that'd be awesome. But here he had Jonathan. He had one person and his armor bearer, one person, Jonathan, the king's son. Right? I love this stuff, man. And he said, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, you know, people and a nation, whether by many people or by few people. Right, so he didn't just have his thoughts about, we got to have you know, at least, you know, half a million people agreeing with this, or 500,000 or 50 or whatever, you know, we got to have all these people agreeing with us. And you know, sometimes, friend, that can be true, and sometimes it's not. We want to have a balance in our doctrine and our belief system. I don't just want to say, oh, God's only going to use a few. You see a lot of times in scripture where I love that part, where he uses the few, but how awesome is it when he uses the many too? When he uses the many. I mean, how awesome is it when you get a lot of people to agree on something, enough to do something? That's amazing. By the way, right now, Israel is more joined together and unified than they've ever been. What did that? Yeah, trouble. Right? Trouble did that. Big trouble did that. Slaughters. So what I want to, you know, get into a little bit tonight here before we go on to other things, is that God can deliver, like Jonathan said, by few or by many. He was trying to talk his armor bearer into faith, like, hey, young armor bearer, he says here, come, let's go over to the outpost, to these uncircumcised Philistines. So what he did is he did that, and when he did, they were outnumbered. They were going to go hit the border where all the you know, the great military people were at. You know, they were going to go to the border where they have their warriors that keep people from crossing over, and these were mighty warriors, right? I think it's like 40 of them or something. I can't remember exactly. Judges 14, verse 6, I'll tell you, but 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. So they, you know, were getting ready to go take on the Philistines. And so they ended up winning. I'm not going to go there right now, but you can go there later if you want. Gideon chapter 7, the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. He had 30,000 people with him at that time. Judges chapter 7. Sorry about that. I even wrote Gideon chapter 7. I got to change that. Judges chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, you got way too many people. See, this is a time where God was fixing to show his hand. Can he do it by many? Yeah. Is that awesome? Oh, my God, it's amazing. But God, many, many times, we're going to go through this sometime, used just, you know, a few people, or did some really odd things, like putting the worshipers out in the front line. That's the only time I wouldn't want to be a worshiper if I was in the flesh, and if I was in the spirit, I'd love it, is those times. So God has this way of showing, you know, waking people up to, hey, don't forget, we don't need a bunch. We can just use a few. If I can just find a few that will listen, right, a few that will hear me. So the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. You can see the motive right here, right? He's right away hitting Joshua, I mean Gideon up with, we got way too many, Gideon, there's 30,000. I know there's 300,000 down there in the valley, the Midianites, there was bunches and bunches of them. And, I mean, they were, you know, the whole valley was full of the enemy. And they didn't have a chance. Even with their 30,000, they didn't have a chance, right? So you have to understand the numbers, the odds of them getting close to doing anything is, I don't know, what would you say, 100,000 to one, you know? I don't know, whatever it would be, but it's a lot. If I was a betting man, I would definitely bet for the Midianites in this case, right? They got 30,000, and then the odds get even worse. There's way too many, the people who are with you are way too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. Now, listen to that statement. The people who are with you, which are 30,000, are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. In other words, I'm not going to give the Midianites in your hands at 30,000. We're going to knock it down quite a bit. And God has a strategy of shaking people off. God has a strategy, right? I want you to watch this. Everybody say it with me. God has a strategy. It's not Randy. It's not Gideon. It's not Midian. It's not even Gideon who had the strategy. God had the strategy, right? So here's the purpose. Watch this. There are way too many with you. In other words, I'm not going to give the Midianites to you with 30,000. Let Israel claim glory for itself against me. Look how God's thinking about this. So he knew Israel did that. They would claim glory for itself against the Lord. This is God's people. This is human nature, actually. This isn't just Israel. Y'all know that. It's you and me. It's our flesh. Everybody's flesh is the same. Everybody's flesh is the same. Yeah. Some people's flesh is a lot more raging than other people's flesh, more manifest than other people's flesh. But the flesh is the flesh in all of us. Let Israel claim glory for itself against me. Watch this, saying, my own hands have saved me. You know what? I think I can really, you know, I mean, I've been at times where I've been blessed and times where I haven't been blessed. And at times you really start getting blessed, you know, you can tell that thing is there. If you don't know that, you're either lying or you're just duped, one or the other, because that thing is sitting there waiting to be activated. Just like it was in all the Israelites, just like in you and me, right? My own hands have saved me. You know, we don't start out like that. Israel didn't start out. Israel started out like, oh, God, yes, please, we give you all the glory. And then little by little, as they become successful, something just happens to all of us. We have to really crucify that flesh. You know, people say, oh, I would never do that. Yeah, it's like Peter would never deny the Lord. You know, 15 minutes later, or maybe 3 hours later, he was just doing it big time. Right. So we got to really sober up to this stuff so that we don't get caught off guard. Because if you don't realize that you could possibly be like Israel, claiming glory against the Lord for yourself, right? I own hands save me. If you don't think that's in you, then you're ignorant of it. If you're ignorant or blind of it, you're going to be caught off guard with it. That's why I'm talking about this. So you won't be caught off guard. Oh, I would never. Just like Peter, he was just so in love with Jesus and so not aware of his weaknesses, you know, that he's just like, oh, I just love Jesus. And as soon as the thing hits, like Jesus said, I know you're going to deny me, Peter. Jesus already knew this thing within him, but Peter didn't know it. So some of us, we got that thing in us. Every person has it in them. Don't sit there and say, don't deny me, you don't have it in you. If you have flesh, human flesh, that flesh, you have that in you. You're going to have to wake up to that, because what's going to happen is if you don't wake up to it and crucify it, it's going to crucify you, right? It's going to shock you. It's going to surprise you, just like Peter, when all of a sudden he found himself, what's wrong? Oh, my God. The circumstances just lined up perfect where it looked like Jesus really wasn't the Messiah, like he was already been told by God. And already saw all the signs and wonders and walked on the water with him and all the things he saw. And it's like you would think he would never change. But friend, our flesh, my flesh, your flesh, Israel's flesh, it's all the same. So we need to see these scriptures and realize, oh, I thank God I would never do that. That's what Peter said. Yeah, I'd never do that. And what did he do? He did it. Why? Because when the pressure's on and you're not prepared, see, Jesus tried to prepare him. He said, Peter, I know you're going to deny me. It's like us. Oh, Jesus, you know, I know your word. I got saved to the bone, man. I'm like, I'd never do that. You know, I'm your faithful one. If you read it in the scripture, you see it. So what was Jesus trying to do? Condemn Peter, make him feel bad, make him feel stupid, make him feel ugly, make him feel like he was a compromising half? No, he was saying, you have flesh. And with the right pressure, with all the right circumstances leaning against your flesh is going to go, well, I don't even know who he is. No, I don't. Who, Jesus? Well, no, I've never seen him. Look at that, friend. I mean, that's you and me. You got to quit saying it's sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, my mama, my daddy, my sister, my cousin, my brother, my best friend, my worst friend, my enemy, whatever, whoever. You got to stop that and wake up to the fact that you and I have flesh. If you're not awakened to that, you're going to be caught off guard and you're going to fall. And then God knows you may not make it back. And we want to make sure you may not make it back. You may go move into betrayal mode. You never know. Before you know, you'll wake up just like Judas did and go, what did I just do? What happened? Yeah. Yeah, the whole Bible is full of showing God's people that we, even though we love him, we have flesh to deal with. And if we don't wake up to it and sit there and be in denial, it's like you're telling a little child, you know, things he's done 100 times. I know you're going to do it again, honey, but mommy's right here if you need to come get forgiveness, and I'll come love you. No, I'll never do it again, mommy. You know, I know I never will. I never will. I know I never will. And then, you know, 3 minutes later, 3 days later, he's doing it again. She's doing it. It's the same thing. Exactly. Why do you know that? Because, you know, they haven't grown up to the fact and realize that, number one, well, you know, it's them, it's part of who they are at the moment. And if they're not prepared and ready and conquer it, it's going to always defeat them. It will defeat you every time. When the right pressure's on, because the circumstances, the lies will be so perfect that it'll be one of those one out of a million things, and you'll be in Job's friend's side, going, well, you know, what's one in a million? I mean, I think I'm going to bet on the million instead of Job. You know, Job had to have done something wrong. You know, the numbers are against him. Well, friend, we're in the number realm right now, and God is getting ready to do the one in a million things time and time again. And if you're not in the camp already, and if you're being part of that camp means you got to be aware, possibly deny the Lord. Boom, just like that. Somebody tells you, think, oh, no, I know Jesus. No, he was... I saw it when he was a young boy, you know, Jesus this and Jesus that, and the Messiah can't die, and the Messiah would never, you know, work on the Sabbath, the Messiah would never, and they started having all these questions because they heard the leaders, those big dog leaders who knew everything, questioning Jesus' motives and intentions, and the disciples were right there to hear the whole thing. Well, they were, of course, on his side because they, but at the same time, they kept telling Jesus, why do you keep causing trouble with the leaders? We need them. They still didn't get it. Like some of you don't get it. Some, I didn't get it for a long time. Oh, I need those people. Then why do you have to say so many things to come against them? We need those people. You know, don't you know that they run things? We need them. Well, you may need them, but God doesn't need them. And Jesus knew that. We got to get a hold of this friend. We've got to get to the message here. I got kind of hung up on that because that's something that took me a long time to wake up to. I kept falling, you know, here and there. Nothing bad or major, but it's like stuff that just I would condemn myself to hell and back over. Like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did. Well, I'll never do that again. Nope, I never did again. And then I did. So, you know, I had to become aware of, and the reverential fear and awe of God is what points the finger to say, you know what? If you don't lean on God, you can fall just like you did those other 3,500 times or 25 times or the last 5 times you fell or slipped or slid that maybe nobody knows about. The fear and reverence of all of God will point you to those things going, you better trust in him because you know your flesh. You better trust in God because you know your weaknesses. You better trust in God because you know you failed before when you least expected it. Remember that? The fear of God will remind you without condemnation. Yeah, we must be awakened, for sure. Now, therefore, verse 3, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful, Gideon just got through saying, hearing God say, you got way too many, Gideon. You got 300,000 to 500,000 warriors down there, but and we're going to whoop them, but we're going to do it my way. So we're going to have to get rid of some of the 30,000, so let's see what we can do. Let's see how we can shake a few of them off. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears, he told Gideon, of the hearing of the people, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000, friends, 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. 22,000. They had 32,000, not 30,000, 32,000 people. 22,000 got up and just admit, at least they admitted it. You can't be in the foxhole with me because you can't trust me. I'll freak out. I know me. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be real. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I love you. I'll be praying for you, but I'm out of here. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. They were good, honest people. They were everyday folk. They were people who loved God. They were going to heaven. But, you know, they were being honest. They said, you know, I'm not made for that kind of thing. I can go back and work and, you know, at the house. And when you come back, I'll be ready for you and I have things ready for you. So I'll do my part, but I can't do that. I'm fearful. Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead, and 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Look at this, man. This is God. This isn't the devil. Gideon's not just trying to be cocky and say, we don't need that many people. We're bad to the bone. This is God. This is the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. See, because God will, let me tell you something. I've seen God do this through me. Without my permission, I must say, without my permission, he'll find myself in a conversation with somebody, a text, an email, here on Blog Talk, a conversation with him on the street, whatever, talking to him about different things on the phone, and I'll find myself saying offensive things to them. I go, why did I do that? The Lord says, just be quiet. Don't apologize. I did that through you. But, you know, they're not going to like me anymore. Keep talking like that. He said, just do what I tell you. Say what's coming to you. So, I find myself being offensive, and I go, why am I being offensive? You know what? The Lord's trying to shake some things off sometimes. Yeah. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. He's fixing to do what? God is leading Gideon. Watch this. He is leading Gideon to test the people. He's not doing it on his own. He's not, let me see, I can come up with a really good idea. I got to get rid of some people that have problems. We don't need this many. We need like, you know, 300 or 400 to do. How are we going to get rid of these? He wasn't trying to come up with a plan to get rid of people. It was God. People are still too many, God says. Bring them down to the water and I will test them. I will test them for you there. I will test them. The Lord says, I will test them for you, Gideon, there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, and the same shall go with you, and whomsoever I say, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go with you. And Gideon's going like, huh? How are we going to get it down to how many? Oh, so you're going to shake some more people off? Because God knew that in this particular circumstance, in this particular kind of warfare, that only certain kinds of people would make it and wouldn't turn and run to the hills. Go, oh, God, you know. So what's God doing? These are not bad people. These are not dumb people. These are not people who love God. These are people who love God. They're God's people. But there's something special. These are not like these people are dumber than everybody else or less faithful. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with something in them that are not called to go down and be in the same kind of strategy that God is about to put together. He's putting together a particular strategy that is going to only take certain kinds of people. Some people that you may think need to be gone are going to be there, and some people that you think need to be there are going to be gone. Because you don't know. Only God knows. That's why God says, I'm going to test them. Take them down to the water. I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. The same shall go with you. And whosoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you. The same shall not go with you, O Gideon. Verse 5, then he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said, Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands in their mouth, were 300 men. And all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men whom lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. All the other people go, every man to his own place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and they sent away all the rest of the Israelites, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of the Midian was below, in the valley. And this is a very, I'm not going to go into all the details of all this, because the main point we're trying to make tonight is, if some people find themselves fearful, they don't know why they're fearful. It's not that they don't love God a lot. Some of them are, called to be used of God in a lot of ways. But when fear hits, when, oh my God, what'd you say? What, we're being watched? What'd you say? They're looking at us? Oh, wait, God, oh my God. And they can't handle that. Does it mean they don't love Jesus and that they're compromised? No. That's nothing to do with it. It just means that they're not called to go down to be in this particular situation of warfare. Now, later on, they may be used mightier than the 300 in a different situation. You see what I'm saying? These are not stupid people, dumb people, ignorant people, people who don't love God. They love God. But God is shaking off the people, like I said, that could be used in another battle, that the 300 may not even be used in that battle, but the other people who left may be used in it better than the 300. So it's not about they're better. It is the strategy that God has. You understand what I'm saying? So don't, these people that have left your life and done whatever and gone away, and don't count them off, because God may turn right around and use them in some great thing that you wish you could be a part of, and you can't really be a part of it because, you're being used for something else. Right, so this isn't a thing of they're wrong, they're compromisers, they don't fit in, they're not with us, they're not really Jesus people. Yeah, they are. All these people were God's people. So I want you to get a hold of that. I don't want to get into that thing, tried our best not to get into that thing of, we're better because we're going to go down, we're the 300, we're going to go down there, and we're going to whoop up on some, bad boys down there in the valley. It's more of just the fact that God used certain people for certain things. He uses other people for other things, right? You know, same people that were used, like the 300 will be used, cannot and will not be used for other strategies, right? So we got to remember that. And I'm going to prove that to you in Scripture here soon. All right, so they took the trumpets, the 300, and they went up on the to the camp of Midian, and then it goes on and on and on. So it's really an amazing story. So I hope you're able to hear this tonight and understand what we're talking about here tonight, that some people are just not made for certain strategies, but they're made for other strategies. Right. So they went, and of course, they won the battle. But sometimes God goes through a thing of shaking. When he has a certain strategy he wants to use, a certain purpose, a certain thing he's going to do, he will shake off everybody that's not fit for that particular warfare. Right? They're fit for other warfare, but not for that. He will shake them loose, shake them off, and for whatever reason, some the first 22,000 were fearful. They knew they were fearful. They didn't hide in shame and go, "Yeah, I'm fearful, man. I'm sorry." They just knew that they weren't made for that, right? They just admitted it right away. 22,000 were honest. "Yeah, that's me. You know, I'm not made for this. I can do one-on-one better than anybody, but, you know, this thing and that." Yeah, okay. So I'm going to go home. Right. So this is really what happened, I believe. So we need to get our eyes back on the fact that God has certain strategies. He can deliver through many, or he can deliver through few. In many cases that we're in a season, we're in a time where God is going to magnify the fact that he's only going to take a few to do an amazing, powerful thing. Right? I think it's really, I know it's what's going on. I know it's what's going on with me, and I feel like, you know, you guys are a part of that, what we're doing. And if anybody's fearful, afraid of what, you know, these certain groups that are going to be powerful people, "Oh, they're going to get into my, they might find out who I am. What if they come after me? What if they do this? What if? Well, I'm going to sit here and tell you right now, it could be possible. I highly doubt it, but it's very possible. If that makes you fearful, if you're afraid of that, go home. Go, you know, there's other places to go that you can be used mightily by God. It's okay. We're not going to call you a compromiser or somebody who can't stand with the crowd or go with it or what we're doing. What we're doing is very cool. It's very unique, and I'm very proud of what God is having us do here, very thankful. But there's other things, man, that I wish I could do, that I wish I could be a part of, that are big, using massive amounts of people, and it's an awesome, great, and the leaders are the awesome people, and many of them. You know, but for some reason, God hasn't chosen me for that. He's chosen me to show himself through the few. But God can deliver through both, friend, right? I think you understand what I'm saying tonight. I think you know that I'm trying to, you know, break loose. Some people just can't handle that particular thing. And just like I may not be able to handle crowds. That could be the thing. Maybe that's why God used me, because he built me to have a few. Built you to have a few. Built us to have a few. But there's something about us that a few doesn't offend us. With other people, they're scared to death to be that a few, but they can be with the many. And I sometimes wish I could be with the many, because that's amazing to have a lot. Oh, wow. God can deliver through many, or he can deliver through few. One's not better than the other, friend. Now, when we're doing it, we feel pretty awesome, right? I feel pretty awesome with God. I feel pretty privileged. I feel pretty grateful. But those people, they got the many. And if you can get a bunch of many people to agree enough on one thing to go to war together, or do a battle, or do a thing together, man, you gotta have something going on. And I don't have that, right? So I don't want to be self-righteous and say they're bad, we're good, but we do have the right to feel privileged with what we're doing. In fact, that's what makes it so beautiful, is that we can feel privileged with what we're called to do. Right, and I do feel privileged. I feel privileged to be part of you guys' life and you are part of my life and what's going on. And we don't always understand everything. Even though God speaks to me pretty clearly on something, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I'm watching things happen that are blowing my mind. I'm watching myself live in a world of a million to one. Sometimes it seems like a million to one. I don't know. It's amazing. And you get judged heavily on that. People will go with the odds. The many people many times will go with the odds. Why? Because they're kind of made to go with the odds. They're going to be a part of the many. They're built to be with the many. They're not built to be with the one, with the few. Right? So, you know what? Job's friends, they were built for the many. In a sense, Job, who's alone in his thing? He you have to look at how Job was by himself in something. He's one of a million, one of a billion. And the circumstances were one of a million, one of a billion. Those people are rare. but also the multitude things. So here, how was Job by himself on something? Because God says, when we read the scripture the night, remember, he said he's the greatest one in the East. He is the greatest one in the East. He's the wealthiest one in the East. And the greatest, and God said, I read the scripture the night, God said about Job that he's the greatest man in the globe. What's that? That means you're all alone in that position. If God says you are the greatest one, at least at that time. That's what he says, right? So that has a lot of accolade to it. That has a lot of blessing to it. It also has a lot of trouble with it. It's called 100-fold persecution. Now, how many people walk in the 100-fold or going to walk in the 100-fold? It's going to be very few. Very few will. Not everybody, you know, it's just called to walk in the 100-fold because why? It comes with persecution. Most people can't handle persecution. They talk about it. Oh, yeah, we're going to bless, love, forgive. When it comes to actually time to do it, it's difficult. It's difficult for me. It took God's grace to help me go through that. When you're when the odds are a million to one and you're the one and they're the million or 999, whatever it is. Yeah, that many? Yeah. You're the one and they're the billion? Or you're the one and they're the million? Or you're the one and they're the thousand? Like Elijah, the prophet, he was one of a thousand, one of 500. What are the odds of that? Oh, the ones who had all the kingdom on the side, Jezebel and Ahab, all the prophets. Oh, they just knew they had it, but they had a lot of them too, and they had TV, they had radio. They had money. They had the leaders behind them. They had the head dogs with all the big stuff going on. Yeah, these are the people that we endorse. That Elijah boy, we're going to kill him. We're going to take him down. I just love this stuff. We're going to take him down. What happened? Oh. He opens his mouth and prophesies Jezebel's doom. She's gonna be eaten by dogs. What a word! What a terrible word! That bad boy, and Ahab, you know, he's going down, and that's exactly what happened to them. And there are times, you know, Elijah got tired and he got wore out, and he kind of ran to the hills a couple times. But God's word, because God's word was God's word. God's word came to pass. Elijah being, you know, weak and frail sometimes and getting tired from all the pressure and all the stuff, you know, it's like, okay, that's going to happen. But you know what? As long as he spoke God's word, he was going to be on the winning side. So he gets taken up in a chariot and he leaves the business. So I'm going to go somewhere. Y'all, I'm finished up here. I'm going to give this to Elisha. You know, you let the next phase begin. And so anyway, all right. Yeah, I hope y'all are with me tonight. Thanks for being here. Hang on a second. All right, so the main thing I think we're trying to attack tonight is that fear that comes on me or that thing where Satan gets in there and goes, you don't have enough people to win nothing. Yeah, you with that one in a million boy, that one in a million girl. You with that one in a million bunch. You know what? The odds are against you all the time. You ain't going to be able to do that. Well, if you're not one of a million kind of person, you know, that's probably right. But if you're made to be one of those, then you are. Gideon was one of those. Elijah was one of those. you know, a lot of people, Job. You know, look at what happened with Joseph. Joseph was all by himself most of the time. Locked up in prison. The one being, you know, looking bad. And yet he ended up ruling. So friend, we got to start asking God. You got to ask God this one thing. If you're being shaken off, it's okay. You're going to be used somewhere else. You'll be used with the multitude. And that'll be awesome. God can deliver by few or by many. Right. And you have to ask yourself the question, do I want to hang out with somebody like Randy, who seems to have these things that go on that seem to be like one in a million? Is that fear that made me really, nothing wrong with being a little fearful. Because when you read on about Gideon, he was a little bit fearful. A little bit of fear is good, right? So the kind of fear she was dealing with was not that little bit of fear. Good fear, Joshua had a little bit of fear. It was a different kind of fear. So there's nothing wrong with having that little bit of an itching fear in you that's there. Keeps you from becoming arrogant, right? But the fear he was talking about was like a fear of, oh, when it hits me, it just takes me over. It doesn't always stay, but when it hits me, when you put your finger on that particular area, it's like I freak out every time. I wish I didn't. I love God, but some, you know, whatever. Okay, those people, they're not going to be able to do that. They're going to be able to stand with them. They feel safe with the multitudes. They feel safe with the multitudes. Okay, what's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing. They're part of it. If we can ever get past this thing that we're special in the wrong kind of way, knowing that you're special, knowing that God has made you special, that you are a special person to him, is a beautiful thing, right? Yeah, and will he use you with the many or the few? It's all awesome. So you got to decide, if I can't handle the kind of stuff that Randy goes through, yeah, I know some of you go through things, we all go through things, right? But the things I've talked about, you know, are, you know, the odds against me are very high that this is going to keep happening. Oh, well, yeah, oh, good. You got lucky on that one. Good guess. I mean, I've had, you know, people, very sincere people who love God talking like that to me. Oh, good guess, good guess, good guess, good guess. Maybe not a good guess on that one. Good guess, good guess. Oh, good guess on that one. And they live in that thing like it's, they can't handle the one in a million things. Like, you know, oh, that was a guess. That was God. That was the Lord. They can't seem to grasp that to people that they know that they're close to. They seem to doubt. When they get too close to you, they start criticizing you, fault-finding you, doubting you, calling you all kinds of names. You know why? Because, you know, you can't stand too close to somebody who has a one in a million. Look what happened with Job's wife. She's standing next to the one in a million guy. What are the odds that Job isn't doing something behind everybody's back, and that's why God decided to expose him? What are the odds of that being right? It's big time, even according to biblical scriptures, biblical theology and teaching. He had a wife. See, you have to understand, a wife is somebody who's close to you. And when you get close to somebody who's one of those kind of people, it's, you know, that's why I don't criticize Job's wife. Because when you live in what I've lived in, and what some of you may live in, I don't know. I can only know what I live in, that it's difficult for that person. It's extremely difficult for them. Because they watch stuff happen to you all the time. I'm like, yeah, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. And another one. Another. Month after month, year after year. They see it just like Peter saw Jesus. Job's wife knew that Job was a very special man and a very loving man, a very caring man, a very holy man, a very committed man. And yet, when the pressure was on, that one in a million things started happening, she started freaking out and saying, well, why don't you just curse God and die, boyfriend? You know, I mean, it's okay. You've been a great guy so far. I don't know what you've been doing exactly, but I think your friends, who are my friends too, I think they may be onto something here. So, you know, also the beast, so do something because I can't handle this. Because, friend, it's extremely difficult for those who get too close to somebody like that, and they're not called to be a part of that. You try to get too close, you're going to start accusing and doing all kinds of things, not because you're an evil, bad person, but because you can't handle that. That's what happens. Pressure on that person. The pressing is not messing with them because they've been little by little getting used to it. So you get too close, and then the things start happening that are one in a million type things that just don't make any sense. You start getting on the side of Job's friends too. Yeah. And you're going to be like Job's wife, going like, you know, once you just curse God and die, and all this stuff's happening, it's just a great, you know, you got to be doing something wrong. I mean, I love you and everything, but, you know, oh, my God. I know you have things regularly happening like this. Oh my God, my family just got hit. My family, All my family's gone, honey. They're dead. Did you do something? You've been doing something? I don't care. I still love you. But, you know, my God, if it's going to keep going on, why don't you just curse God and die? Our wealth is gone. Everything's gone. Everything I loved you for yourself. But then when you get all the money, I kind of like that too. And I'm kind of enjoyable and, you know, great. And I know you liked it. We both liked it. We both talked about it. And then all of a sudden it's gone like that. And, oh, my God, you're just sitting there saying, I didn't do nothing wrong. Come on, Job. I know I didn't do anything wrong. Very difficult for them. Very difficult. You got to have compassion for those people. Be judgmental. Don't put your mouth on them. Because you may end up doing the same thing they did, right? Because it's very real. One minute, Peter's the most faithful person that Jesus could ever have. And then the next minute, he's the most unfaithful person that he's ever had, almost. Amazing, right? So we got to quit judging ourselves and judging people. We got to judge them righteously. And know that some things are just different. Circumstances are not always what we would like them to be, and it's easily judged as we would like to judge them. Right? So we're going to be careful how we judge Job's wife and how you judge people that are close to people that have the one of the main thing going on, because it is extremely difficult to hang with those people close. Well, sometimes it's better to just keep everybody away. That way, if people try to get close and they start, you know, pretty soon they start yielding to that thing, well, you're just a this and you're just a that. Well, I know you. You're, you know. So that's what happens to them. They freak out. They can't handle it. Jesus had James, John, Peter, James, and John. Pretty close. John was, you know, closer than all of them. And then Jesus had the 12. They were further out. Then he had the 70. Sometimes some people belong in the 70. You're still part of it. Very much a part of it. The 70 are talked about in the Bible. The 12, very much talked about in the Bible. The main guys. And they were still not as close as John. John handled the pressure. That's why he ended up being the one who got the book of Revelation going on. He handled the pressure better than the rest of them. Peter didn't handle it too well. You could tell, right? He starts cracking. Cuts off the guys here for Jesus. Jesus turns on him, according to what Peter thought. You turned on me, Lord. I put you out of protection. I did. Now you turn on me. You're telling everybody in front of everybody. You're saying, you know, you're going to live by the sword. You're going to die by it. This is not the way we do it, Peter. When I was trying to help you. That's how you start thinking when you get too close to people. And now Peter got more prepared later. Some people can get prepared later and be close to those who work in one of the million, but Peter wasn't ready. John was. John was made like that. Some people are not made like that. It can be made like that. God can change them. It's rare. It's difficult. But God can do it. So you see why you can't always just have certain people close to you. It's not that you're afraid they might see something they didn't like. But what happens is that pressure that's on you, they start touching your arm, touching your heart, leaning their breath, their head on your breast, and start trying to get close to you. All of a sudden, that pressure hits them, and they start going, you know, it's like being in the foxhole. And all of a sudden, you know, the bullets start flying, and they start freaking out and start crying out, and the enemy starts knowing where you're at because they're sitting there going, oh, my God, I want my mommy, I want my mommy, I want my daddy, I want to go home. You know, which, you know, happens. Paired. Properly or not made for that. It's okay. That's just the way it is. Now, can they be prepared? Of course they can. A few times the foxhole, you can adjust and you don't freak out when the pressure's on. John the Revelator was good. Peter was not so good. I don't know that with James. But we know John was definitely able to get really close to Jesus, and Jesus allowed it because Jesus knew that John could handle it. He knew Peter couldn't. He told Peter, you're not going to be able to handle it. He never told John that. He said, John, remember he bragged about John? John's going to be with me? Everybody thought he wasn't going to die? Remember the rumors about that? Yeah, are you familiar with that? Are you getting anything out of this tonight? I hope you're listening closely to what's going on. That's good, too. Thank God for that. You need to get this teaching. You need to get this revelation, this understanding, because it's going to help you. Help you understand why you get too, why God doesn't let you get too close to some people who live in one of the ways. You can't handle it. Every time you get close, like in your mind, you're thinking, you freak out. So let God prepare you, or you're going to stay in that position where you're not going to be able to get close because you can't handle it. It's not because of the person, the people, you know, Job didn't want his wife, but, you know, not that Jesus didn't want the other guys to be close to him. He knew they couldn't handle it. He knew John could handle it because John had a different mentality. John knew he was weak. Peter didn't think he was weak. You notice that? John, that's why John leaned on Jesus' breast, because I'm very needy. You think people like that would be the people that God wouldn't use that much, but he can use both. It's like he can deliver by few and by many. He can also deliver by those who are very, 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 very needy, like John. I need, he leaned on his breast because I need you, Jesus. Everybody go, John, he's real needy. Yeah, he's real needy. Yeah, he's needy. He's weak. But yet he was the kind of weak that Jesus knew that he could handle the pressure. He wouldn't turn on him like Peter did. What happened to Peter? He ended up being used by God, right? He ended up being used by God. So we need to really read the Bible close, right? I mean, I'm starting to see the Word of God like I've never seen it before. And I hope I'm helping you tonight. I hope God is using me tonight to disarm some of the fears you have of, you know, I don't know what's going on exactly. If you can just hear the word and know that just because you haven't been able to get too close to those who live in that realm, why do you get rejected by them regularly? It's not because they reject you. It's because you can't handle it. Every time you get close you prove that you can't handle it. Same thing with Peter. He was walking on the water one minute, he's sinking, and doing all kinds of things. He was up and down all over the place. But does that mean he lost even when he denied Jesus? John never denied Jesus. Not like Peter did. Was he fearful? They all were fearful. Yeah. Does that mean Peter wasn't able to be used after he denied the Lord? Of course not. So can you? May not have it now? Get broken a few times? Yeah, who knows? It might work. God might allow you to move in that position of a million and one. So you don't bet against the odds all the time. You bet for the odds. You've been betting for the odds. Oh, a million and one, yeah, you know, a million and one. I put all my money on that. And then you end up losing when it truly is a million and one thing, and the one is the one who's won. Already won. The B-O-N. Yeah, I can spell too. Yeah, we're getting some out of this tonight. I could go on and on about all that. It is really beautiful. What a beautiful revelation Jesus has given us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thanks for talking to us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for bringing the things out of the Bible that we can learn from and set ourselves free from thinking, I thought I could never hang with the one in a million before. Because every time I get close to that kind of thing, I just flip out. Right. Does that mean you're not usable? Absolutely not. It means you, just like Peter. Peter was the same way. Jesus knew it and told him so. Remember we said that several times tonight. Jesus knew he was like that and told him so. He wasn't trying to condemn him. He wasn't trying to say, you're stupid idiot, you're not going to make it. He was trying to say, hey, I know you. You're going to fail. You're going to fall apart. You will do it, John. He's not going to do that. You're going to do that. Well, how come you're picking on me, man? You're picking on me over there. You're picking on me. You're picking on me. That's how Peter felt. You're picking on me? How many times I felt like that? A bunch. Why are you picking on me? Are you picking on me? And I'm not laughing at you. Yeah, I'm not laughing at myself because I could be in those same shoes and lickety-split if I'm not careful, right? But I'm a little bit weak. You know, people interpret that wrong. They think I'm weak and, you know, whatever. But it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with being, there's parts of me that are like John, just like you. I think everybody has a part of John in them. Peter, Evan, eventually became like John as far as that. After he denied the Lord and, you know, all that. Anyway, so you know what I'm talking about. All right, I'm trying to shut it down. Having a hard time because I've caught a vein of food that I think is, you know, good for us tonight. out of vein of food. And some people needing this tonight. I know I do. All right. So it's been a great night. No video tonight, as you already know. Sorry if you want to check that out. I didn't send out a email. There's too much stuff. A video is not on tonight. And I did not send out a text to tell you. Sorry about that. It's been a busy day. A wonderful day. Got a lot of things downloaded early this morning. And I'll be sharing those later. Give me some more details on the wealth transfer thing. It's being worked right now. The Lord is working it on me. So keep praying for me about that. I know you are. That we will get what God wants us to do. It's not going to be what you think or what I think. It's going to be what God thinks, and it will be the best thing. It will be the most powerful, most enriching thing that we will see happen. And it's going to be God's strategy, not yours or mine. Right? So you got to remember this. This is not my strategy. Like he was talking with Gideon. He said, Gideon, I'm going to show you how to shake some off. You know? So he used Gideon to shake people off. You ever had God do that with you? Sometimes you blame yourself. Why was I being so sassy with that person? I don't know. I'm trying to shake them off. Sometimes God uses me. You know, I don't even know what's going on. All of a sudden, I get this attitude towards somebody. You know, I mean, I don't even know what's going on. I have no reason to have an attitude. All of a sudden, I'm just talking this and talking that, saying this, saying that. And I know it's the Lord. I hear the Lord talking to me. I'm going like, why are we doing this? Or why are you doing that? I don't blame it on him. Just like he told Gideon. He said, you know, I'm going to show you. He said, there's still too many. Bring them down to the water. I will test them for you. In other words, he knows Gideon is going to need to not have those extra numbers, right? He said, I will test them for you. When I hear this stuff in my mouth, I'm thinking, look, shook that one off. Oh, shook that one pretty good. You know, hey, they did pretty good. Some of them do good. Some of them don't do too good. Some of them could do good later. Some of them kind of go back and forth, and sometimes they get better and better. Sometimes they get worse and worse. You never know. I never know because it's not my thing, right? The Lord has me say things and do things that they just go into a frenzy. Oh, my God, I can't believe you. Who do you think you're weak? I'm going like, man, if you only knew. This is not my thing. Like the Lord says, I will test them for you and through you sometimes. I'm telling you, literally, it is crazy. When I hear that stuff coming out of my mouth, I just like going, he's shaking somebody loose. And sometimes it surprises you that they don't get shaken loose. Yeah, sometimes they change. If they don't change, it's the same result every time. Every time. So they change, it's the same result. All right, we could talk about that a lot more too, but anyway, so you start to see some things here, hopefully. Understand some things, maybe that God will help you understand what you're going through. I talk about me because I want you to apply yourself to it, right? As you know, I'm not just saying this about me so you can go, oh, I didn't know, Randy. I'm talking about you too, possibility of you. All right? You can learn what I'm learning. If you're not looking at this and learning, you're looking at it like, oh, gosh, I didn't know you went through that. Now, you're supposed to be looking at it like, okay, we are going through all this together. And what Randy's learning, you know, obviously because I have flesh like everybody else has flesh, maybe I need to learn something that he's learning too. Instead of, oh, it's about time, you know, God straightened him out about that. And no, this is for you, friend. I'm the one being forthright here by telling you what's going on. Right? I'm being forthright. I'm one keeping it out of the closet. Right? In the closet, God deals with me in the closet, and then I bring what's in the closet out into the open so everybody can learn. All right. Okay. Give me just a moment. I'll be right back. And I don't know where we're going to go from here. We're going to take communion. Like I said, again, there's no video tonight. I apologize for that. I didn't send out the text. Let everybody know. So thank you for being patient with your buddy, me, friend, me. I'll be right back. All right, I'm going to do a couple things, get some offerings together and put them down, and be right back. We got it going on here, and thank you. All right, thanks everybody for your love for PGN and obeying God with what he tells you to do, whatever that would be. And then some people are attached at the hip, some not. We love it all. We love it, every part of it. We're thankful for every part of it. Jesus loved every part of his ministry. Not everybody was real, real tight with him, but tight with the ministry. Some were really, really close. Some were just, you know, close. Some were a little bit distant away, close, but still close. You know, so it's all good. Everything's good. We're going to have to get all this thing. I'm having to get all this thing, that it's all good. I'm preaching to me, right? It's all good. Truly all good. Can be delivered by few or by many. Both are good. Getting delivered, getting the job done, is what we look at. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get ready to take communion. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11. And as we always do, and... ready to eat the Lord's body and drink his blood. Doesn't that sound wild when you say that? Eat his body and drink his blood? That feels like, oh my gosh, it's hard to swallow. Right? Hard to swallow. When you think about that, when you think about the people that eat flesh and drink blood, dude, I mean, you think, like, wow, this is crazy. All right. Okay. Get your cup, if you would, and your bread, and let's get ready to do this thing. Thank God for some amazing things. All right, let's open up our Bibles, if you would. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, as always. Paul the Apostle said, "For I received from the Lord who lifted the bread, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's do that thing. To eat. Yeah. Well, we thank you, Lord, for your precious body, your lovely body. Thank you that you were sent down from heaven to earth so we could have your body. In fact, we're still eating your body and drinking your blood is amazing. We might not have been doing that if Paul the Apostle hadn't got the revelation I received from the Lord. He delivered it to us. This thing is still powerful. In the same manner, he also took the cup, to take our cup together, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, because you drink it, in remembrance of me." This drink then. Wow, amazing. All right. Thank God for that. All right. We love you, Jesus. Thanks for your body, Lord. I pray over every person tonight that needs financial blessing, that when we, like we did last week, we held the, I held the coin-looking wafer up and used it as a blessing for the financial blessing, which comes through the cross of Calvary, where you forgave our debts. And then you just didn't forgive our debts, but then you gave us a new currency, or whatever, or bless us financially. Thank you, God, for that. We give you glory, Jesus. Thank you for everything you do. And we bless you and touch your people tonight, Jesus. Enhance them. Let them step into your inheritance. Let them teach them how to quit wheeling and dealing you. amen, like we all do at times, and start receiving from you, pushing you and shoving you, and let you rise up within us, that we say the right prayers, that we say the right words, because they come from the desire, from our delighting in you, desiring you, and not just, you know, trying to take everything. But we love you and adore you. We receive you, Jesus. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Be healed. Be delivered. Every demon of fear commands you to leave in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus over you. Come out. Come off. The difference between having a demon of fear and having, you know, even big fears, kind of big fears from believing wrong and thinking wrong, which demons can come in through that. And then it is to having little fears and things that you know, the fear of God, you know, that you fear, you know, fearing is a godly thing. Fearing is a godly thing. It's got to be the right kind of fear. Right? If you fear you're going to lose your salvation, if you're truly born again, you fear you're going to lose your salvation for 5 minutes or every 5 days or every 5 months, there's a problem with that. You know, a real problem with that. It's going to cause you to open up to demons. And so when that's happening, you have a whole different thing going on. But when you have the reverential fear and awe of God, of, you know, knowing that if you keep sinning those sins, you're going to, not about losing your salvation, it's about losing your blessings, losing your inheritance, why your financial things don't happen for you, because you're, you know, you're in fear. You're believing the wrong things, and that fear has opened up the door that shuts off your financial blessings. Happened to me for years. Happened to me for years. And all the different repercussions of my belief system, whew, that's why it's so amazing and so important, the wrong ones. And the devil will just have people hang on to those demonic strongholds, a tradition of what they believed most of their life, if not all their life. And it's a demon. And believe me, he's very good. I've been under him. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And it becomes demonic. And lets in all kinds of fear, destroys your blessings, gets you going the wrong direction, gets you in fear of all the wrong things instead of the right things. You fear the right things, you're doing good. You fear the wrong things, not good. Fearing the wrong things, that's going to close the door to God's blessing for your life. Fear the right things. He knew that he could do nothing, therefore he was afraid. And, if he thought he could do it, his fears would have been hidden. And when there are hidden fears, you convince yourself you can do it, you can do it, instead of depending on God. And you get into the battle, and then those hidden fears that you've hidden through your faith confession and all that stuff come manifest themselves right in the middle of the battle. You fall apart. That's what happened with Peter. Basic fears, you know, were not a big deal. But the ones he had deep within that he hid, that he tried to conquer by confession, faith confessions, and try to hide them and cover them up instead of getting them out. Jesus knew they were there, and he said, you're going to deny me. Why? Because he had a fear. But did he ever, when the pressure came on? Of course he conquered it. He overcame it, thank God. Awesome. I've come through some things like that myself. All right. Thanks for being with me tonight. Let's do this prayer of offerings. And believe God to deliver us into the things he wants us to be a part of, that we can not just observe them and like them, but to become flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, be actually covenanted with him, where it's engrafted inside of us. Right? Yep. For the anointing on Andrea, the new anointing, God, $5. Thank you for that. $5, Andrea. Thank you for a new anointing on Andrea, God. You are bringing her to new places for new anointings, for new things, to trust you for things she's never been able to trust you for, that she's always wanted to be able to just have automatic faith for that, automatic knowing. Instead of, you know, we get to the battle, we struggle, and we do warfare and all that kind of thing. And it's different when you do warfare. Warfare can bring you to a place. Warfare is usually, most of the time, is what brings you into a new place. So I think for those new places, God, faith, new places of belief, new places of not having to struggle and battle. You know, the Bible does say to struggle and battle, but there's a purpose of that, to enter in so you enter into rest. Labor that you may enter into the rest. So we do labor. For what purpose? To enter into that rest. I thank you, Lord, for all the labor she's done, and that she fulfills that and comes into the resting place where the yoke is easy, the burden is light, and things just come because she's just agrees with it, no longer having to wrestle with everything, right? There's a time for that, a season for that. Then there's a time to just receive. And I thank you, Lord, for that in her life. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Hallelujah. Let it be done. All right, Shalanda, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Shalanda. Thank you, Jesus, that you blessed her, giving her your faithfulness, showing her your, she's got her eyes on your faithfulness, not her own. Our faithfulness can be, you know, okay, but it's not perfect, right? That God's faithfulness is perfect. So the more you get your eyes on his faithfulness, Shalanda, and, you know, like Jesus with Peter, when Peter, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus' faithfulness and looking into the eyes, the face of Jesus, he walked on the water. But as soon as he got his eyes off, he sunk. So Jesus said, what's your faith? What is faith? Faith is putting your eyes on the faithfulness of Jesus, the faith of Jesus, the faithfulness. Because when you're full of faith, real faith, you're fully faithful. And Jesus was fully faithful in every area. That's why you could look at him and absorb fully faithfulness, fully faithful. All right? Yeah. When we get our eyes off of him, you know, no matter how spiritual we are, how much scripture we know, whatever, it's like, yeah, it's all about him. It's not about the Bible. He is the Bible. Right? The Bible reveals Jesus. It's not just information. It's about him. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for that with her, that her him thing is coming into action in Jesus' name. All right, Nicole from D.C., $5.25. Thank you for that, Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for that being careful in all things, being careful, you know, to give thanks to God in everything. God, that you're showing her more and more how to be thankful. We don't have to like everything. You know, I don't like everything because of my way. But I've learned to come in agreement with God that he somehow or another is going to turn into something powerful for me. That everything that seems to be negative in my mind, in my heart, that I'm not sure about, that I'm wondering about, that I'm questioning about, that I don't know if and when and how that's going to happen, that he takes that and puts the cross on it. You know, the cross, turns that negative into a plus, a cross situation where she crosses over, Father, into that new realm of faith, that new realm of belief, that new realm of knowing, a new realm. You've been there many, many years, but God's moving you to a new realm of receiving. Just receiving from God. Amen. Just wake up in the morning and just receive, receive, I receive, I receive. There's a time to give, and there's a time to receive. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate. Sometimes when it's time to God, sometimes I just love everything. Love, love, love. Love myself, love everybody, love everything. Everything I'm going through, I just love it all. And then one day I wake up and go like, I hate this. I hate this, I hate that. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate. And so sometimes we learn to hate the things that God hates. You know, I hate the fact that, you know, I'm not trusting God like I should, so I start hating that, and then I come to the other side of it where I love it because I break through, I come through, and I keep doing that all my life, like Paul the Apostle did, and pretty soon, hopefully, we're going to come to a place where we're walking in 100-fold. And that's our goal, is 100-fold. That's our goal, is 100-fold. I think that's the thing God's putting before us. You do 100-fold if you want. It's up to you. You can stop at 10, you can stop at 20, and still be blessed 100-fold before you. So God takes the parts of us that fear, like Joshua feared, and that fear, sometimes fear can be a good thing, the right kind of fear, and it caused him to depend on God. The wrong kind of fear causes us to run from God. the rock of fear caused us to fall upon him and say, God, I can't do this without you, and literally mean it. That kind of fear turns into that negative thing turns into when the cross of Calvary gets on that, where Jesus, the Christ, gave his life, and adds that to that negative thing, that I can do this, we can do this through him, then we enter to a whole other level of being positive, but positive in God's way. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, for that new realm of prayer, intercession, and agreement with you, God. Think way of thinking. All right, Daryl, Paul, thank you, Jesus, for finishing the things that you began with him. But there's certain, you know, God starts a thing and finishes a thing. Then we start a new thing. Finishes it, starts a new thing. Finish it. So God, showing Daryl, Paul, how you start things to get through it and get it finished, right? And when it's finished, you start a new thing. But until it's finished, you can't start a new thing. Right? So it's like we have a bunch of little things we do, a bunch of medium things we do, a bunch of large things we do. So each thing is like, no matter what, how little it is, how big it is, yes, we start it with God, and we finish it with God, but we got to finish it. You know, it's like finishing it, and then it adds a new phase. You start a new phase of that, and you come to an ending place with it. It never ends, but it has a start and a finish place many times along the way. Yeah, it's like a puzzle. You know, the puzzle never ends until it's all put together, but it has one piece, at least another piece, at least another piece, at least another piece. And let him get the pieces, God, so puzzle can come together. And God gives things in pieces because we know in part, and we prophesy in part, we know in part, right? So the part thing is very important. Every little part is important. And to start and finish it and, you know, get it added to the puzzles, you can see the bigger picture. And then and showing him how to do that, God, revealing it to him, making him successful at doing that. Hallelujah. And then it's so much fun to find parts of a puzzle that we just, you know, you gotta put the puzzle together. But sometimes it's like that one piece, you just can't, you know, for some reason you just can't see it. Where is that thing? And then all of a sudden your mind goes right there. You're like, oh my God, it's like a miracle. And then that piece, it gives you courage and then encouragement to put more together and more together and more together that we never give up. That's why God gives little, so we have little successes so that we always, you know, we don't start something that lasts for 25 years and never has a finishing point where we get a reward from it. Get a little thing going on, get rewarded, a little thing more. That's where God does it. A little thing, that way we keep being encouraged. We start something, we finish it, reward. Start something, we finish it, reward. It's not many years down the road. Some of those things we do have, when the puzzle's all put together, that's a whole different kind of reward. Right? But every piece put in is a sense of reward for finding it, for accomplishment of it. Very important. All right. Paulette, $15 prayer for her brother's, Daryl's body and mind. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl, for Paulette's brother. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for, we just plead the blood of Jesus over him, Lord, that he will be able to find the root causes of things so that he can, have that divine intervention. Lord, where he can trust you and believe you, that you will give him answers. Sometimes the answer is not spiritual. Sometimes it is spiritual and it's three-dimensional. It's spirit, soul, and body, right? So sometimes it's about our spirit man, spiritual life. Sometimes it's about our soul or emotional life. Sometimes it's about our body. Sometimes it's all three. Sometimes the problem can be, you know, one-sided. And it could just be our body. We need to take care of our body better. Our physical being. And, sometimes it's all of it, putting it all together, spirit, soul, and body, and getting them all working together, feeding them, all of them, feeding our spirit, feeding our soul, our mind, will, emotions, feeding our soul and with the Word of God, and feeding our body, and feeding our brain correctly, right? So we can, when everything's functioning right, God has made it to heal itself. That is the anointing, is entering into the origin of how God made something. And when you enter into that, then it heals itself, but it's only healing itself because God made it to heal itself. Not something we give our credit to, our glory to ourselves because we healed ourselves. No, we give credit to God because when it's all functioning properly, God made it to heal itself. He did all that, so we give him all the glory, right, on everything. All right? Yeah, thank you, Lord, for that with him. In Jesus' name, they will discover those things. And for Paulette, God, we thank you for blessing Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for her faith to believe you to get the answers, not just the religious answer. Like Job's friends had a good religious answer, and a lot of things he said were true, but they weren't finished. They weren't complete, and they, therefore, which made them false. So sometimes just the biblical answer without having, I say biblical answer, what most people look at, reap what you sow, that kind of thing, like Job's friends thought, they think that's the answer, and they judged him if the odds were against him. I mean, the one that had to be something he was doing wrong to reap that kind of thing. So, but they were wrong about it. Thank you, Lord, for helping Paulette to judge things and see things by what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen. And always looking for the results of what's this test all about? What is the test all about? With Job, it was, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. But God said, you know, in the beginning, the test, all, we know what the test was about, because the test was about, God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? This guy is awesome. I mean, read Job chapter 1. God says, this boy, he is awesome, man. He's like, he's just the hottest kid. He's the biggest guy in the world. He's the richest man in the East. He's the greatest man in the earth. Oh, have you tried him? Yeah, and so Job didn't know what's going on. So understanding, you know, some what's going on, but what's the purpose of this test? That's what Job was asking. I don't know why you're doing this, God. I don't know what's going on with this. And the purpose of the test was really that he would prove to Satan, that God would use Job to prove to Satan that God does have people that will be faithful to him no matter what. Whether they have money, don't have money. Whether they have blessings, they have family. If the family is taken, everything is taken. They say, yet we, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sally from UK London, $16. Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Lord, for her mind, God, her brain, opening up to learning how to understand you, to wait on you, to hear your words, to know what words are coming from you, to know what words, information is incomplete, and not to move on incomplete information, and to be patient and wait for the, like the puzzle. The puzzle scenario is so good, because if you have a small puzzle. I used to put together my kids' puzzles sometimes together, like, you know, like, man, look what I did. And it didn't take long either. I'm really quick at this. You know, it takes them 30 minutes, takes me 5 minutes, because I'm, you know, I'm a parent, and I'm old, and I'm fast, because it's easy. And they're a little kid, you know. Yeah, so anyway, so I would, you know, put puzzles together, because it's so quick and easy, and look at the finished result, and go, like, So sometimes things happen fast, but we have to let God get pieces of the puzzle and wait till the puzzle comes together before we, you know, make those decisions. Sometimes it's very difficult to wait. I've gotten impatient before, and because of it, I've lost, lost the fact of being right about something because I got impatient with it. And God wanted me to be successful in it, but yet I got impatient. Sometimes the things that we mess up, I messed up a few things before, not too bad, but sometimes, you know, pretty good. Enough to realize that. So I go back and I look at, why did I fail at that? I got in a hurry. I got impatient. I was hearing from God, but you can hear from God. And my impatience would always cause me to, you know, get a hurry up and get this going, get a hurry up and get this done. And then I would mess it up by that. Same thing happened with Abraham and Sarah, you know, and they're great faith people. So them and us, yeah. So God, you're showing her, she's learning, she's growing. She's able to look back with that condemnation and see, you know, where she failed. Like when I saw the God told me the fear of man grieves more than anything, and I thought, yeah, I know a lot of people like that. He says, no, eventually it took a few months. Now, I'm talking about you, Randy. I'm like, huh? Me? I thought it was Mr. Bowl, Mr. whatever. He said, yeah, some ways. And then he started showing me and looking back at things. He said, look at everything you failed in. See the result of why you failed. I went, and it was up without condemnation. I went, yeah, you're right. It was a fear of man. I feared what people thought about me. I feared what people thought about me. Oh, God. And he was trying to show me, you know, something I've resisted him on for a long time. And I'm not like that. I'm, you know, I wasn't that wrong. And, so when I started opening myself up, it kept me from, you know, like Peter. Peter was in denial. And when you're in denial, you deny. Right? He was in denial that I'll never deny you, Lord. I don't have flesh. I don't have flesh. I will never do that. No, I have no flesh. I'm a holy man of God. And what did he do? He found out he had flesh. He was in denial about his flesh. Everybody has flesh. Everybody has that thing where we could be a Hitler, or Mussolini, or whatever, you know, in no time if our flesh goes like theirs to the fullest level of corruption. Anybody can do that. But that's why we need to be aware of it and walk in the fear and reverence of God about it. So it can help keep us, our mind focused on him. Amen. So bless her, Jesus. With patience and understanding and wisdom and waiting for the little pieces of the puzzle to come together. Amen. And to be highly successful. All right, Devin John, $21 good for Devin John. Thank you for success. Spirit of success upon them. Like Joshua, God, I thank you, Lord, that you've given them courage and strength. They know what it's like to fail and make mistakes. They know what it's like to come short. They know what it's like to try really hard and come up with very little. And just like me and anybody else. You know, so we start, those experiences are for us to look back at them and go, what did I do wrong? What was that? Did I do something wrong? Or was it just timing? Was I hearing your voice? Because some people think they didn't hear the voice of God when they did, but they just tried to activate it the wrong way. Right? I've had that happen. I heard the voice of God clear as a bell and, you know, started, you know, wondering about this, wondering about that, trying to figure it out and made decisions without, you know, so attitudes work, and I learned from it, you know, and now I do it a lot less, hopefully never, but, you know, just in case, yeah, thank you, Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for the things we make mistakes on and fail. They're there to teach us. People don't like to admit that you make mistakes, and they failed, but most people who have become extremely wealthy, extremely well known, most of them will tell you all the failures that they went through. So thank you, Lord, for every failure, every mistake, God, that every one of them, that Jesus learned obedience to the things that he suffered. Not through the sins he committed. He didn't commit any things he suffered. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for all the suffering that they've gone through, God. You bring in Deborah through that were because of the suffering and then learning from that. Painstakingly looking at it and going, okay, God, I see, and feel his love and his correction, feel his love and his opening us up, feeling his love and wanting to protect us and keep us, you know, and learning how to yield to that. Oh, my God, it's amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, your sufficiency, Jesus. Amen. People say, well, I haven't really failed. Well, I thought you were going to be people tell me, I thought you're going to be a great baseball player, a great football player. You know, everybody knew that I had, you know, everybody knew that I had that ability in me. You know, my coach has activated it in me. And everybody knew it. I knew it. I just, you know, I don't know what was my problem. I just didn't care about it enough when I got older and didn't pursue it. But, you know, anyway, when I, you know, so here I was, you know, doing okay in life, wasn't really doing anything, having anything bad going on, but I wasn't successful. I wasn't, you know, the big thing I thought I was called to do in sports, I wasn't doing it. So it was hard for me to admit I was in a failure in any fashion or form because it's hard to admit that, you know, you didn't become that baseball player, that football player everybody thought you would be. You disappointed everybody because, you know, you're going to be the one of the family who did it, you know, and you didn't. So I said, I'm not a failure. Well, according to what I knew I was supposed to do, at least in Nashville, I was a complete failure, though my life was okay. I wasn't in prison. I wasn't in jail. I wasn't, you know. when I finally began to, it's spiritually the same thing, we got these great dreams and visions, and yet we don't want to admit that we're a failure in the sense that we haven't reached those yet. You know, like me, it's taken me years to believe, truly believe God had called me to do what I'm doing right now and going where we're going right now. It was, and I came to face my giants many times. And by the grace of God, he gave me a rock. And by his grace, he's been making me successful in those things. So, but still have an accomplishment. Paul the Apostle said, I haven't attained yet. So, you know, he was very sober-minded the fact that he hadn't attained yet. So I think, you know, that Deborah and John, you know, are mature people, and they know where they've been successful, where they haven't been, and they're not afraid to look back and go, well, this is what I need. Okay, why did I fail? What did I need to learn from that? Because failure teaches us something. Mistakes teach us stuff. Most people, ever learning, have never come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? So I thank the Lord that they will be successful in all that they do, because God, every time they reach to 90-fold and say, well, I'm going for 100-fold. How come I don't have 100-fold, God? Instead of like, okay, I got 90, man. I'm here, man. This is it. I'm at 30-fold. Yeah, I got it, man. I finally got past 20. This is amazing. And God has for them to go, the success level point for, it's like Paul, was to 100-fold. When Jesus was 100-fold. Hallelujah. 100-fold, 100-fold, 100-fold. Comes with persecution. Persecution, which is different. A different kind of trouble. In other words, you're not just having things go wrong. You're being picked on. Most people can handle being picked on. They can handle things going wrong. We all have that going on. Being picked on? That's persecution. That's different. Thank you, Lord. You're preparing them for that, growing them into that Jesus, making them very successful in you, according to your standard. Amen. Bless them, Jesus. Hallelujah. Nikki and Charles, $22.99. Thank you. Unspoken request. So we love you, Brother Randy. Thank you very much. I love you, too. Thank you for that $22.99. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and Charles, how to come into agreement with what you're doing. Not trying to push it, not trying to shove it. We talked about this last night, you know, last night, one of these nights, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, which one it was. I think it was Wednesday. We were talking about, you know, what sort of things you desire and delighting in the Lord. And I know you delight in the Lord, you guys do, and all that. But our prayers and our things being answered and praying the right prayers and coming in agreement, what sort of things you desire when you're in prayer. So it's all about desires. You know, when we're in prayer, what kind of prayer? The delighting prayer. Where things, the right prayers float up. We don't push them through. I still push them through sometimes. You know, I do. But I'm learning how to let them, as I delight in him, the right words begin to form in my mouth. I pray, Father, that you lead me and guide me into all truth. You know, whatever this prayer thing. And I pray the right prayer, and God starts answering those prayers. Our first answer, we pray the right ones. We're trying to push them and shove them, which I'm a good pusher and shover. You know, I thought that was what we were supposed to. Kenneth Copeland taught me that. You know, take it by force. Well, it's true, we do that, but I was doing it, you know, in the wrong way. And so, you know, anyway. So thank you, Lord, for that, that as they learn how to delight, as they delight in you and letting the delight they have in you cause them to pray the right prayers, come into agreement with those prayers that come from the delight realm. Right? We delight in you, and we pray, as Mark 11:24 says, what sort of things you desire. I love the way it says that. It's not like the King James on that. What sort of things you desire, not whatever things you can believe God for. It's not what sort of things you can on your list that you believe in God. It's what sort of things you desire when you pray. Those people, Nikki and Charles, are going to be the most powerful people on the earth because they're going to pray the perfect will of God every time. You feel that? And wherever two or more come into agreement, our touch a thing. Who force a thing, who push it, who demand it, and command it. Like I've done some of these things. Whosoever, let me read that scripture. Matthew 18:19, Nikki and Charles, here it is. Jesus taught that enormous power that exists whenever believers get in agreement with each other. That's not really what it's saying. I mean, that's part of it. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching, not grabbing hold of it, not shoving it, not pushing it, but touching. We just might touch you and they're grabbing you and you're not ready for that. It's not exactly, but when you're in a great shall touch a thing, anything, touch it. Touching. Not grabbing, not yanking, not forcing. No, I'm talking about touch. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something really happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. So when we touch, number two more, agree as touching a thing, they shall, if they ask, if they shall ask. It shall be done for them, my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, my God. They put their toe in the water and touch the water with their toe. They didn't build a bridge. And sometimes we're going to build a bridge, and God says, we just touch it. Just touch it. There's some things I noticed on some things I do on computers. Sometimes when I'm It's made so you just touch it. If you try to push it too hard, it doesn't work. It's like it gets stubborn or something. You hit it. Touch. It's made by the touch, and you just touch it, and it, boom, clicks right up. Like, wow. I touched it. Ooh, I just simply touched it. And oh, the joy of all the answered prayers from that realm. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, help me open it up. Open it up. Open it up. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Faye for $13. Almost missed Faye there. Thank you, Jesus, for Faye. Thank you, Lord, for her faith, Father, that is showing her the difference between her faith and your faith. Your faith is completely different from hers. Ours is very important. Our faith is extremely important, extremely valuable. But our faith is used to bring us into your faith. We use our faith, it's to get us into his faith. When we have our love, our human love, our personal love, the reason it's so valuable. And it's not the love of God, it's your love. It's not his faith, it's your faith. Right? When your faith, when our love is given to us by God, but it's just our love. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your love, what do? You activate his love. And then his love explodes in you, and you love people with his love. All right? It's amazing. You love people with his love. It's because you're loving him with all your love. You're not giving your love to anybody else but him. And then he loves people through you, gives you love for other people. But it's his love. A whole different realm. Same thing with faith. Our faith is to be used to touch the faith of God. And when his faith is touched, wow, it's just like it just happens. There's no struggle, no battle. I've walked in that, lived in that at times. And I used to have a healing ministry. You know, I used to work that. And I learned to work. God was teaching me how to work faith. And I learned to work my faith, which is powerful to do. And then I learned to, that when the faith of God got activated, the battle was over. There was no work anymore, working your faith, which is good. You entered in, you work to lay, enter into that rest. And you enter that faith of God, it's like boom, boom, boom. You just come in agreement. Yeah, as fast as you can come in agreement, as fast as it happens. Yeah. If there's a shorter yeah to say, I say, yeah. Because it doesn't take much. It's like easy. Well, thank you for showing her how to use her faith to activate your faith. It's like your love is extremely important. You gotta be a human being and have love. Everybody's got love. And that love is used to love God with. And when you love him with all that love, all his love begins to be active. It's called covenant. Give everything you have to him, all your love. You know, then he starts giving you all of his love. Give you your faith, he gives you his faith. His faith is boom, boom, boom. It's all it is about. It's not even about praying. It's just about coming in agreement. It's just about saying it. That's when the faith confession realm, which I hate to use that word because I don't like that. Some people do with it, but the true faith confession realm is when the faith of God is moving, you just go, yeah, let that be done. The spinal cord be healed. And your bones come together. You know, in Jesus' name, you know, that money come in, that $1,000, $100,000, whatever it's going to be done. Be done, be done, be done, be done, be done. I'm not about trying to come up with something. I'll give me a number. Okay, I'm going to say that $1,000. I hate that. Let's use our faith to activate the faith of God. But when it happens, there's not even a struggle. It's like, yes. And done. Thank you, Lord, for that realm and that Jesus' name. I kind of think some people that walk in that have books on that or teachings on that. You can look up on YouTube or something. Can't think of the names right now. I used to read the books all the time. Anyway, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And my sister, touch her, Lord. Let her eat of the body of Jesus and drink his blood so that her bones and her flesh, God, her blood will come alive with your life and your blood, your bone. She will be bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. All right, Nikki and Charles, I prayed over you, and then I got Faye. Let's see. LaShun next. LaShun, $25. Thank you, LaShun. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God. Thank you for, choosing her to do the things you choose her to do. The Bible says, receive the truth, talking about the truth, that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. All truth is, some people think all truth is every truth there ever is, ever will be, you get it all. Well, the truth, what I think the truth, he will lead you and guide you into all truth, is about whatever he's called you to do, thing he's called you to be a part of, he will lead you and guide you into all the truth about that. So you can become 100-fold knowledgeable about the things, like if it was a healing ministry or a prophetic ministry or whatever thing is, he will teach you what he wants you to learn. You will learn, he will lead you, and guide you into those truths. Lead and guide. Lead it, what does it mean? You have to follow. Right, we have to go, okay. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to follow you anyway. I don't understand that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? I'm going to trust you and believe you. Thank you, Jesus. He can lead you and guide you into all truth. So whatever area, whether it's about cooking, he will lead you and guide you into all truth about cooking, whether it's cooking fish, cooking chicken, steaks, food, theta, you know, whatever that, what they eat, he will lead you and guide you. Like God leads me and guides me. I'm believing he will lead me and guide me in all truth. All truth. About the brain. Right? I'm not saying show me everything about everything. The things I'm doing, things when he's called you to something, he leads you and guides you into all. I mean, every bit of the truth about that thing. Everything I need to know about the brain that God wants me to know, it's going to, and it's a lot, I think it's going to be everything, all the truth about it. Amen. All right. That'll be successful. He'll do that. You know, so. Sandra and Robert, $25. Thank you, Sandra. But bless Robert tonight, God. Show him how to activate his faith, Father, in Jesus' name, more and more all the time. And I think that hinders his faith from being all those things that hinder it, in Jesus' name, so we can just learn to step right in, walk right up, open it up. He didn't have to do a lot of struggling and battling. God, in Jesus' name, there is a time to struggle. I've talked about that several times tonight. There's a time to labor to enter into that rest. We do labor to enter the rest. But our whole goal is to know that our laboring is going somewhere, and it is to get us to that place where we just come in agreement. Instead of pushing and shoving and growing and learning and making mistakes and grunting and groaning, and which is part of it, it is to labor. And then we enter that rest. Once we start catching the wave of it, we catch the rate and the wave and we ride it. Help Robert ride the wave, God. Everything that keeps him from any fears, any human fears, anything that he might have, anything that, to show him those things, God, so he can ride the wave. To ride him, you see, get people surf. I mean, I've never surfed in my life. They say that you have to be pretty brave. Those waves get big. They can kill you, right? So the more you get out there, the less of the wrong kind of fear you have. You can ride higher and higher waves. So if we're riding little waves, well, I don't have no fear. I ain't got nothing wrong with me. If you're riding little waves compared to what God wants you to be, then there's fears of some kind. It may not be demonic fears. It just be human fears. Just understanding. Wrong teaching. Wrong belief system. I think God starts lining that up. Your faith level starts going higher and higher. Pretty soon you're riding high waves. Now, there's a fear. It's a reverential awe of fear. But it's not the fear in the flesh. All right, so thank you, Lord, for that. And he's going to open that up for him. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra, God. You know, when God tells her to do something, she, you know, and yet there's that part of her that's very sensitive, very tender, very yielding, very bending. In Jesus' name. But once she knows things, then she just, like, you know, this is it. I know this is it. So thank you, Lord, for that part of her that she learns how to flow in both areas when she becomes extremely vulnerable and very flexible in God's eyes for God to touch and move and bend and move around. And then all of a sudden when she gets it, she goes like, she stands up strong, you know, like Peter. Once he knew, he gave his life. Once he got that thing going on, he gave his life for Jesus. He denied him at first, but then he ended up giving his life. They hung him upside down on a cross. Right? So once he got it, man, it's like, whoa, he was willing to lay his life down. Thank you, Jesus, for those things in Sandra, God, that are alive and active and sure how to continually grow in that and come alive in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Activate all of that. The fullness of it. All right, Angela Joy, $30. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Lord, for the power of praise, for the power of thankfulness, for the power of gratitude, because gratitude opens you up to, you know, when we're needy, when we have needs, which we all do, you know, that's why Jesus was always thankful. That's what Thanksgiving really about being thankful. When Jesus came and he wanted to multiply and increase things, what did he do? Blessed it, broke it, gave thanks for it, blessed it and broke it. Gave thanks for it. That's a simple thing. And I've overlooked it so many times. Jesus understood how to get into the giving God gratitude, the gratitude realm of not having enough. He didn't have enough. 5 loaves, 2 fish, we're going to feed enough. Anybody. He had a whole multitude. What was it? It was about gratitude. Thank you, Father. I know with you all things are possible. I know, and I give you thanks. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you the credit. I give you the honor. And when he did it, then he blessed it, and he broke it, and then he gave it out. Thank you, Lord, for teaching her the deeper levels, God, of thankfulness and gratitude to you. Because reaching up in thankfulness means you're saying to God, I trust you more than anybody. That's why I can be thankful. unthankful people forget that God can do it, that God wants to do it, that God is doing it, that God can do it. Right? Thankful people, like Jesus, he said, I know this is not enough, God's not near that. But I lift it up, I thank you, which entered him into God, getting into it. Because he knew, God, I know, God, you can get into this bread. I know probably you can get into my life. I know you can get into this. It's not going to be short on. You take this a little bit, you can make it go far. Get our eyes off the numbers and the amount of what we have. Oh, I don't know, I got enough. I mean, we all say that all the time. I say that all the time. Oh, my God, I haven't got enough. It's like, you know, once I get my eyes on, thank you, God, to give you thanks. Man, get into what little I have. I thank you for the little I have. The little I have, with your blessing on it, can go a long way. Oh, it's not about how much I have and blessing it. Jesus' name, open up the gates of praise, the gates of thanksgiving to your glory, to enter into that place where we know that you are our rewarder. In Jesus' name. All right. Bianca, $30. Thank you, Bianca. For that. Thank you, Lord, that her, that part of her, like Abraham offering up Isaac, out of offering up, learning how to offer up what is precious to you, willing to lose it, willing to, you know, knowing that, willing to lose. Jesus said, wherever you lose, if you lose this life in me for my sake, things, they think they're okay, but they're not really losing it in Christ. God's not, Abraham was losing Isaac in Christ, in God. He was giving him to God. He wasn't just going to offer him up. He was offering him to God. He was willing to lose him, and therefore he gained. Sometimes we have to get past that fear of losing and lose in God. He who loses his life for my sake, he who gives things, you know, for my sake. Thank you, Lord, for that thing of my sake, my sake, my sake, for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake. Yes, me to give it, God. Yes, me. But I know you're getting ready to multiply me. Right? Yes, you're asking me of everything, and I that's all I've got. Isaac was all he had. This is all I have. You asked me to give it. I will do that, God. He's getting ready to bless me. Somehow or another. In Jesus' name, open her up to that, God. Remove every fear. Every fear of failure, all of it, into the blessing realm of you are my source. You are my victor. With you, all things are possible. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Angela from South Carolina, thank you, $35. Thank you, Lord, for that, Angela. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name, that the things you suffer, that God's taking the things you suffer, and he's causing me to enter into new places with that. You do something, you look at it, and you go, that's pretty cool, but, you know, I want to do greater, I want to do better, and you feel that you suffer over that, you know. Sometimes we suffer over things we've done, you know, for him. Did we do it enough? Did we do it good enough? Did we have done it better? You know, and can we? Could we? Of course we can. That's the whole point of doing something, is so we can learn how to do it better. That's one reason we get experience on one thing, and we get through it, and we finish it to a certain degree. We get it out there, and we look at it and go like, yeah, that's really cool. Thank you, God, for all the way you got it. Did he guide you? Yes. Did you come up short? We all come up short until we completely entered to 100-fold. We look at our stuff and we go like, okay, pretty cool. Thank the way you guided me through that. Now I'm ready to learn to the next level, the next place, the next thing. Thank you that I'm not afraid to learn from, you know, the things that I've done that have to improve, have to, you know, yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the finishing touches. Hallelujah. Thank you for new beginnings. Thank God for Angela, that she's not afraid to step out there and test the water. I love that about her, God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. That you activate that, that you open that up for her in Jesus' name and cause her to know how to walk in that at higher levels, God. Well, she's trusting you. Hallelujah. Not afraid to, you know, possibly fail or not or make mistakes. I'm not afraid to do that. But a vote within itself was absolutely mind-boggling. The fact that he failed a little bit, I mean, oh, my God. I mean, compared to the fact that he walked on the water at all, it's amazing. You know, it didn't stay long. It's just the fact that he had the courage to get off and do it. That was amazing. And then Jesus said, when he sunk, he said, well, you know, what'd you face that? And I'm like, yeah, man. Well, I feel all wet right now, but when I drop, I'll think about it. And what he did, he kept, you know, doing things and wasn't afraid to make mistakes. And what he did, he ended up preaching the day of Pentecost. It's amazing. That's similar to people that are not afraid to get after and try it. Do it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Jeannie, $63. Thank you both for that. And thank you for her, God. Thank you for her courage. Thank you for giving her strength to step out beyond what makes sense, God, and do and believe you for the impossible. Thank you, Jesus. And the same thing, I'm talking about this a lot tonight. The Lord seems to be done with this a lot, about not being afraid to look at, you know, where we come up short from experiments and things we've done before, and they were okay, but like, you know, okay, how do I make that better? How do I do better? And you improve. You show us things, how to improve a thing, how to do better, so we perfect it until it's, we go from 30 to 60 to 100-fold. Perfected. People stay at 30-fold or 10-fold because they're afraid to let God perfect something, you know? And so I think God, for Jeannie, that she doesn't do that. She allows you to perfect her. She allows you to, you know, take something that she did, and it was really, really awesome. Just adjust this and adjust that. And then the next time she does it, it goes from 30 to 60. You get the 60 done, says adjust this, adjust that. You know, sometimes God knows we can't handle too much adjustments. We have to adjust a little bit at a time. He knows we can't handle it. I'm not able to handle it. That's what's taking me so long, man. It's like a little adjust. I want to let God adjust me a little bit at a time. That's all I can handle, right? And the more I'm able to handle those adjustments, and the bigger they get, the more he adjusts me, the faster I grow, right? But he knows where we're at. He knows how far we can go. He brings us right to the breaking point. We're going to fall apart, and then he, like, scoops us up. Remember how he met Peter? Go as far as he could, man. He knew he was going to sink. I think he knew. You know, this is some tough stuff. I mean, Jesus was doing it, but he was God in the flesh. Peter, he's just a fisherman. And he let him go as far as he could, got there, he started going under, and then he grabbed him. You know, yeah. So, because he knew that next time he does it, you know, if that something like that, it's going to be better and better and better. They perfect our faith. In Jesus' name. All right, Deborah Mark, $74. Thank you for that. Deborah Mark, thank you, Jesus, for the high quality of faith that you've given him, for God, to trust you, to believe you, the true thing of being servants that you're teaching John, even Deborah and Mark, teaching Mark how to be a servant, how to serve in every area, how to serve. And to be a servant who knows how to, it's not being a man pleaser, but it is how to please. The Bible says in the book of Acts, when they were governing the church and making all these decisions, that they said the decisions that the leaders made pleased the people. Well, not that they were man pleasers, but what they did, the people who were very sober-minded, wonderful people who couldn't make those decisions, but the leaders were making them. Then they made them, and they go, well, and the people are well-pleased. So I see you learning how to please the people in the decisions that you make, that God shows you how to manage things, do things, how to serve, to where the people become extremely pleased. Like we talk about Jeff Bezos all the time. People, you know, like Julie, she said, I wouldn't shop with anybody else but Amazon. That's what he's done, man. I wouldn't go anywhere else but with Mark, is the way Mark does things. All right, thank you, Lord, for that. Opening it up, blessing that, in Jesus' name, Deborah, God, for giving her wisdom on how to leadership in the areas where she leads, and let Mark leads the part he leads, and let their two leadership skills come together to, you know, one through 1,000, two through 10,000, because leadership skills on both sides, you know, that they recognize the things in each other and let the other person do it. And because when Judy can lead at something, you know, and I see that she can lead but easy, I can do it, but it's easy for her, right? So if it's easy for them, let them do it. Just let them do it, man. Let them do it. And if she, and she did listen, let me leave those things with me, then when those two things are working together, it's awesome. You know, and that's a battle with married couples or business partners or whatever. It's learning how to glean each person's abilities, you know, and then put them together and come up with a mighty, mighty thing. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. And they each let each other's things they do well work well. When you put those things together, they're amazing. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for blessing them, causing them to see, know, and walk in that new divine appointment realm. Amen. I'm making appointments. Amen. In Jesus' name, how to serve. All right, Chris, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing him, God. Thank you for opening him up to how to impart what he has to other people, how to, you know, give it away, how to share it, how to open it up, whether it be something about healing, something about faith, something about God, you've given him a, it's like I see the Lord saying, let him open up his mouth. God's going to show you how to open up your mouth, and he's going to fill it with whatever he wants to fill it with. Like with me, when I prophesy, that's what 99.9% of the stuff is I open my mouth, and God just fills it with some type of information. Like I'm opening my mouth toward you right now, right? Like the Lord says, open your mouth and just say, Chris, say $100, and just I'd open my mouth, and then, you know, the stuff just comes out. And so, because he's filling my mouth with things he wants to, you know, let you know about. So thank you, Lord, that you're teaching Chris how to step out. You're going to fill his mouth. And, you know, he's going to speak and say and do. And Jesus moves him into that ability to communicate. Like Moses said, I can't really speak and talk, but he did. He communicated a lot, spoke a lot. And so... Yeah, him and Aaron work good together. But Moses could talk. He could speak. In fact, it says when he was in Egypt, in his Egyptian days, he was a powerful spokesman. I don't know how those two things mix. Maybe, I don't know what that means exactly, but read it. It's right there. Because Moses was a, let me get that for you. I can find it. I'm Googling it. Here it is, right here. I found it. Acts 7:22 says Moses was given the best education in Egypt. He was a strong man and a powerful speaker. I mean, see, that doesn't make any sense, right? You know what I'm talking about. I can't talk. And then he says right here, Acts 7:22. He was getting the best education in Egypt. He was a strong man and a powerful speaker. Right there, powerful speaker. Isn't that just the opposite of what we know about Moses? Yeah, so there's something about that. So thank you, Jesus, for that and making Chris a powerful speaker, God, where he speaks. He can hear the voice of God through him, saying, doing, and speaking. Amen, in Jesus' name. People quit saying like Moses, I really don't know how to talk. I really don't know how to do. He will enter into that place where he will, you know, be powerful with his mouth. In Jesus' name, let it be done. And then Donald and Tanya, 103. Thank you, Donald and Tanya, for that. Bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the careful consideration of, it says be careful for nothing, but when you, you know, find out which way you're going, you go in there and begin to, you know, let God give you details. God will start giving you details about things. You know, sometimes we start out with the overall big picture, and then God narrows it down to giving us details about what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. You know, like with Moses, you know, God said, Moses, you're going to deliver Israel thing, and then he, you know, narrows it down to specifically how he's going to do it. You know, then he went up to the mountain later after he delivered them, and he gave him details, you know. He's starting a new nation. Yeah, new nation, that's a big, wide thing. And then he says, here's the laws for your new nation. He starts giving details. And then, I mean, details, like precise details. My God, it's amazing. The precise details. So thank you both for all that with Donald, Scott, and Tanya, and showing them how the details of things, giving Tanya the ability to, the abilities that are in her God to unlock them, where stress and all the things, you know, that try to keep her from functioning at higher levels of faith. God, that she uses, that lets that stress press her into the kingdom of God, presses her into new levels of faith, you know, even for her children, even for just the fact of being faithful to God in the little things, sometimes the little things that are not seen, that are not seen or known by other people. Sometimes we can't even talk about it with it because it's so little. Those little things, that she, her faithfulness to do those things, God, is showing you that you can trust her with bigger things. And I thank you for that with Tanya in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be a work of God and bring her to new heights in you, Jesus, where she can, you know, manage things in different ways. Those managing ability to manage, like Joseph managed things. It started out with little things, and then trained, and the more successful he was and faithful he was at managing little things, then the bigger things came along. The little things lead us to bigger things. God knows we can only take a little bit. We prophesy in part, we know in part. We start out with little, we know a little, we do a little, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen. Jesus' name. All right, Cheryl, $250. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Father, for her, give her the ability to have insight to herself, to see the gifts and abilities that you put within her that she's never seen before or known before. You begin to activate them, Lord, and begin to show her that, you know, the things you put in her are the different things, are different from the things that she has in her natural realm. We have our natural realm gifting, we have our spiritual realm. We think because we don't have a natural gift, we think that spiritual gift is, it's like we can't have that. Things we have are given to us to do certain things, to organize the structure, to be a mother, to be whatever. The natural things that every mother has. Some are better than others, but every mother has them. It's an instinct that when that child splits that womb open, out comes that baby with all kinds of inside you unlocked about mama things. Those are natural things. But the supernatural things, like not being able to be a structured organizer maybe in the natural, don't have that gift. You can do it, but it's really difficult. But to have that spiritual organizing thing step in and structure and organize, like with Moses ended up being one of the, I mean, he structured and organized because, you know, number one, because he heard the voice of God. God told him, do everything according to the pattern. And the pattern was, like, explicit and, you know, detailed. And, I mean, you don't, wow, it's amazing. But that was all spiritual stuff. His natural abilities were completely different. So she won't sell herself short on her natural abilities. God, as you think, she will begin to see her spiritual abilities from God are more powerful than her natural abilities. Things she can't do in the natural, by the Spirit of God, she can do them better than anything. Open that up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And bless her. Give her the courage and strength to step out and activate those things in Jesus' name. Amen. For a fuller and more in-depth, you know, wisdom on how to do things. Amen. From the Spirit of God. There's things we do in the natural, and God gets us be a good mother, to be a good whatever it is. And then in the spiritual realm, same thing. When we split the womb, when something opens up the womb of our faith in that area, in the spiritual realm, when we give birth to something, you know, all the gifts and everything, all the things we need, like in the natural realm, when your womb opens up to give birth to a baby, automatically that mother thing just kicks in. So is it with the spiritual realm? When things are given birth to it, that's why birthing is so important, because when it births, it doesn't just bring forth something physical or even something in the spiritual realm, but it brings forth something in me. It activates my ability to take care of the thing. Like when the womb opens up and the motherhood thing opens up, as soon as you see that baby, that mother thing is like click, click, click. Goes into action. Didn't have it like that before. Oh, my God. I'd die for my child. That's my baby. And you know, like, all of a sudden, where'd that come from? That's the natural instinct. Same thing is different. You give birth to something, and in that birthing, it activates us with gifting and abilities to deal with that, work with it. From Tanisha, $260. Thank you both for that. Thank you both for the freedom, the spirit of freedom, God. Like I keep seeing a liberty bell. Freedom, 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 bringing liberty. God bringing liberty to you. bringing liberty to your finances, your social life, the different things, bringing freedom in Jesus' name, the liberty veil of freedom. Hallelujah. God giving room to breathe, room to, you know, rest, I guess you would say, relax. And, yeah. So also make sure you're resting, making sure that you're, you know, when you take your Sabbaths, whatever it's on a Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, whenever you do it, that you're resting fully, completely. So, because if you don't, one thing Judy had a problem with, that she never really rested. She enjoyed doing what she did, so she considered that as resting, and it wasn't resting. And when you don't rest, you don't your body and your mind is not able to recover. And pretty soon, after years and years of that, you know, you think you're doing okay, but you're really not. It's like those things break down little by little. And then it's just sure will that we're living by instead of being, when we're recovered and restored on a daily, regular, on a weekly, regular basis, then, you know, we're not slowly falling apart. We're slowly coming together. We're slowly growing and maturing. And when our strength runs out and we're depleted, God regenerates it. That's why the Sabbath is important. That's why having one day to restore is so important, because if you don't, eventually, you know, like with her, you know, sometimes disease will come in and our body doesn't have time to restore itself and heal itself and protect ourselves from cancer cells and whatever it is, because we're so busy all the time, going, our body never restores where it can take a hold of those things and deal with them. That's what restoration is, you know, taking it easy and resting and relaxing so your body can begin to restore itself of its ability to heal itself and protect itself. If that's not happening, we open ourselves up to danger. So on the Sabbath, they would stone people for not taking the Sabbath in the old, I mean, under the law, because it was, that's how important it was to God. It makes people sick eventually. It may take a while, but opens them up to all kinds of weaknesses. So thank you, Lord, that you teach them how to rest and rest well, to restore so that their body can recover, their mind can recover. And in Jesus' name, so they can walk in the fullness of what you have. And when trouble comes, struggles come, and battles come in the future, whatever, we're all going to go through warfare of some sort, that they will, you know, Satan will not be able to wear them out, because they rest, they relax, they recover, they restore, maybe one day a week. But this is important. That's what God said to it. So therefore, if we don't, we end up dying early, you know, maybe not physically, but we give up, we want to quit, people end up in depression, people end up in suicidal, they end up, you know, wanting to give up all the time. They can figure out why, but it's not letting their mind restore. They have a lot of breakdowns because of it. So it's very, very important. Like I say, if you didn't take the Sabbath, man, look how they fought Jesus on the Sabbath. That's how big the Sabbath was. God had to make a strong rule and law of it, and you'd be stoned if you didn't take it, because that's how important it is for your body, mind, soul to restore so it stays healthy. It keeps those walls of protection up, right? Because you let it be restored, the walls get filled with strength again, and they protect. If we don't do that, eventually the walls fall down. So show them how to do that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all, I guess that's maybe it for tonight. Let's see what anybody else gave tonight. Nicole 555. Thank you for that. Hang on a second, I'll be right back. Article 555, thank you for that. And we just ask you to hang on. You know, I spelled your name a long time for without that H in there. At least you know that. You figured that one out. Well, we're doing on the website stuff, and so I spelled your name with NICOLLE. Gosh, don't tell me. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue I was spelling that wrong. Randy, my name is NICH. Oh. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Nick Hole. N-I-C with a hole. Yeah, so. Yeah, so we thank you, Lord, for that hole. Thank you, Jesus, that, you know, we plant seeds, we dig a hole, we plant a tree. And, Lord, I thank you that you have that part of her that is a planter, that is likes to be the person who plants and, you know, like a seed starting a new season or a new time or a new thing, something. It's like going into a new land and these trees. So you dig holes and you plant trees. You dig holes and you plant things. You do things. You dig things. You dig into things. And you, you know, so when you plant, anytime you plant a seed, you have to dig a hole. Some sort of big hole for a tree and a smaller hole for, you know, a seed. When a planter goes, it's putting little holes in the ground. I should do that. I should be a farmer, you know. And the machinery they have would put a hole in the ground and the seed would fall in it and cover it up with dirt automatically. So I thank you, Lord, that for that part of her that is a seed planter in every kind of way. And in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for her becoming a person who receives the seed, not only puts the seed out, but gives the seed. Like the Son of Man, you know, goes forth and sows the seed. Well, you sow a seed, you have to put a hole, right? Put a hole in it, put the seed in there, cover it up. And it begins to grow. So I thank you, Jesus, for all the things that she's planted, all the hoes that she dug, and all the treasures that she's dug up. God, she dug a hole. Like when they buried the Pearl of Great Price, she had to go. That guy went and bought the land for that one treasure. And he dug a hole and he dug it up, you know. And got that treasure. So I thank you, Lord, for that whole thing with treasures and seeds. And in Jesus' name, I see you starting like a new land, a new thing, a new, where you're planting trees or something. It's a physical thing, what that is. But like new land, new territory, new place. And planting yourself, being planted. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So bless that, God. Open that up. Jesus' name. Hang on a second. All right. Amen. Yeah. Thank you both for that. Yeah. All right. All right, Lisa, $12.58. We have your prayer request. Happy Thanksgiving. Bless you, Prophet Randy. Thank you, Lisa, for that. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her family. Thank you, Lord, for that family thing in her, Lord, that we're all made for family, though at the same time, God sometimes breaks the family code of what we think family is and has us do things, you know, which are very non-family, like Abraham. And yet it was a very big family, but Abraham was willing to give his son to make God was asking him to give his son to make his family bigger. That was the whole thing, is that Isaac became a seed planted. I'm talking about Nicole before you about seed planting. Isaac became the seed that Abraham planted or offered up to God. And I think, Lord, you're teaching her how to offer things up to you, God, and to how to walk in that offering place of how to multiply and increase things in Jesus' name. And so thank you both for that. And the whole thing about being thankful, knowing being thankful is knowing to God, giving God thanks first, because he is the source of all of our family, our blessings that our family needs, all the things that we need for our family, love, fellowship, you know, answered prayers, you know, demons being broken off, seeds being planted in our heart that changed her life. So thank you, Lord, for that and for opening that up to her. And this whole thing about increasing and multiplying her family. I mean, and not just more people, but what, you know, sometimes we can have a lot of people, but they're doing very little, to the point where we have a few people doing a whole lot. You know what I mean? Like, bless our family, increase our family means that we take a little bit of gap and multiply and increase it, like the bread was multiplied and increased. God can make one person in the family so blessed that it can be enough to, you know, make our whole family look like it's fat and happy. Right? One person can do that. There has to be a bunch of people. Thank you all for the numbers thing we talked about tonight in the teaching earlier, and about how that, you know, you can use many. Thank God for the many. Or you can use a few to do the victory. And so we thank you, Lord, for our eyes being captured by you. You captured our eyes, Lisa's eyes, to see that it's really about looking upon you and what you say and what you do. If you say a little, we've got have faith for that. You told us. If you're saying you're going to do it for many, then we do it for many. We got faith for that. Because sometimes having a bunch of people involved or something makes it harder. In a sense, fighting over there, I'm this. And so it's a big thing when a bunch of people come together. Amazing thing. But also sometimes what God uses few, because there can be less trouble, less things to, you know. Yeah. So anyway. All right. Hallelujah. Well, I think that is it. We'll call it a night on that, I think. Pray for Yuki. She is in Turkey, according to Jeff. So pray for them. Pray for that. And pray for them to be blessed. All right. Thank God for the wisdom. We're going to be thankful that this whole thankful season, to God, that today we just dedicate Thanksgiving to you. We give you thanks for everything. We trust you that you're the one, you're our source. You're the one that's going to multiply and increase everything. And we give you the thanks. We thank you. Yes, we're thankful for people. If you use people to bring those blessings to them, but you're the source of all that. And we give you the glory first. We don't tie strings to people. We're not waiting for somebody. We're not looking at it. It's you, God. You are our source. Help us keep it that way. Help us just keep our eyes stayed upon you and our resources and everything we do. Hallelujah. Amen. God's people do not bake for bread. You don't have to bake for bread. Amen. All right. I think that is it. Are y'all praying for me as I do the books? That's going pretty good. I'm enjoying it. I've never enjoyed books, never enjoyed numbers, never enjoyed all that. And plus, this is like hyper. You know, it's like it's, you know, massive amount of numbers, and you'd be surprised all the different things. I was surprised. So volumes of, you know, paperwork, stuff, things you have to keep up with and do right, and I'm actually enjoying it, so that is a miracle in itself. All right, so thank God for that. And, all right, I think we're calling tonight. It's only 11:45. That's about right. All right, everyone, thank you. We love you, and we will thank you for everything. going to give God thanks this season of thankfulness. Give God all the thankfulness because He's our source. He's our He's the one who brings us people. He's the one who connects us with people. He's the one who finishes the job. He gets started, He finishes it, and keeps us from finishing things. He didn't want us to finish, at least not yet, to the right timing. And to Lord for all that being developed in Jesus' name, and that He is our source. He's our life. He's the one who has all the answers, and we just follow along, literally. And sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes we die by that. All right, y'all. Love you. Thank you very much. We will talk to you later. Let me know how you're doing. We will talk to you guys Monday.